Hi there, and come on in and set a spell, won't you, friends? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking, to help brighten up another dark, gloomy Saturday. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. Boo-hoo-hoo. How are you this morning, Fred? All right?
Yeah.
You know, Fred, when I go around to a lot of places over the Ozarks, they ask me about you.
Really?
And they say nice things about you. Yes, they do. Of course, I always tell them they're right. And they asked me about Jim Kendrick, too, and about his sweet wife and Sora this morning. And they asked me if he has a son. And I tell them it is his wife's son, but Jim loves him like a father, and he loves Jim. And he's a grand young boy. You know, people like to know about the folks on radio. Some way they like to listen to them better when they can sort of feel near to them. And they asked me about Mary Elizabeth Cox on the College of Cooking on KTTS television. Well, Mary Elizabeth, she's a grand woman, just as she appears on television. Sweet and cultured and above all, generous, great big-hearted. A well-organized person, the thing I'm not, organized. You know, I have a little squib that I like in one of my scrapbooks which says this. I so greatly admire as a purpose. I have an enormous respect for people who know exactly what they're doing and where they're going. Such people are compact and integrated. They have clear edges. They give an impression of invulnerability and balance. I don't know who said it, but he said something really. Well, the cold comes and goes still, doesn't it? And in Europe, it is still terrible. The worst winter in their history. Worst winter in the history of Europe. The papers say the death toll from the cold, including freezing and starving for not enough food to keep the body warm, and from the bitter cold in general, in Europe this cold winter has been 590 persons. And that is terrible. In some towns, even water gave out on account of bursted pipes and water mains. Too bad, too bad. A week ago tonight, I went to halfway Polk County to speak at their big Polk County PTA meeting. My, what a meeting it was. In the big high school gymnasium, they had a banquet set with long tables and beautiful decorations. Yes, and a lot to eat, including Missouri ham. There were for about over 200 people, I think, in line. PTA members and friends. You know, I had backed out, remember? Because such weather, I said on the radio, I just couldn't go. And I felt bad about it. Such awful weather had been predicted for that night. It scared me. And my friends advised me not to go, and my children raised heck about it. But a Mr. Courier called me, and he said he was coming for me, whether or no, and I must go. And so I did. And the storm didn't come, and the trip there and back was lovely in his big, fine car. He and his wife came to get me. Then Monday night, I went and spoke to the PTA at the old historic schoolhouse at Cave Spring near Secaucus. And the trip and the fine folks and the dinner were all something to be remembered also. That old schoolhouse was built in 1848 and stands there yet, a historic building of old-time red brick. And it was something to see. The Jerome Schaffitzels took me down and back. I knew their grandfather so well, the Springfield Seed Company. So I have been busy and also had a great time with wonderful Ozark people. I'm glad this morning to wish a good friend a happy birthday, Dr. W.S. Burney of Miller, Missouri. He's one of the fine old physicians of this Ozark country. He has practiced for 60 years. I don't know what the people of that section would do without him. He would be 85 years young tomorrow. You know, that's the way they all put it now. 85 years young tomorrow, Sunday. So his daughter, Mrs. Marjorie Turk, tells me, "Happy birthday, Dr. Burney. I hope you have many years yet to go, and they may be blessed years." Mrs. Turk says you have osteoarthritis some. Well, move over, brother. I also have it in my left knee. Whenever you find any wonder cure, send me some. My dear father-in-law, Dr. McCord, you perhaps knew of Dr. McCord. He was one of the truly great early pioneer physicians of this Ozark country. He doctored from Harrison, Arkansas to Springfield. And he was a born wit and full of fun. Whenever I'd feel out of whack, you know, he'd examine me and fix up a prescription. He'd always say, "Now this here may is known as McCord's Wonder. Take it and it'll cure what ails you. So you get busy, Dr. Burney, and fix up some Burney's Wonder and send me a few jags of it. Anyway, happy birthday and love to you and your fine family." And now, friends, believe it or not, our dear Mrs. Rilla Abbott here in Springfield will be 108 next Tuesday. Did you know that, friend? 108. February the 12th, Lincoln's birthday. Where do you find women 108? She's a wonderful little lady. I was at her 106th birthday open house party for callers. And I hope to see her again this birthday. Henry said he'd take me. She is small and sweet. In the day she was 106, she was all around among the guests in a pretty lavender dress. She looked about 75. Honestly, all of you call on her who can on her birthday next Tuesday. She lives with her two daughters at 2457 North Kellett. Mrs. Rilla Abbott, and I've forgotten her daughter's names. I forgot it, but I have it at home. You know, it is astonishing when you think of a little lady 108 years old. I read just yesterday that an examination recently made of the careers of different men, statesmen, scientists, warriors, painters, writers, doctors, preachers, business executives, and above all, inventors, and it said that between 60 and 70 years of age, 35% of the world's greatest achievements were accomplished. Between 60 and 70. And even 23% of great things were discovered and invented after 80. And 64% of the great achievements of this world have been accomplished after men have passed 60 years. And that's more than 0.5%. So this way they have of turning a man down on a job or anything like that, just a little while after he gets dry behind the ears. Well, that makes me tired. And believe me, the day's coming rapidly. They're changing that. You read articles about it all the time. Well, a man hasn't got much sense till he's 50 years old anyway. Well, you remember that a while back I told about a little boy writing to ask me what a panther was like. Well, I told what little I knew. Me and the painters, you know, they used to call them painters in the old days. The painters and I are not very good friends. But I've heard them scream, "Oh," cry like a woman in distress. I wonder if any of you ever heard it. And so the other day I got a letter from Mr. Paul Cole on Central Street here in the city. And he said, "Ms. McCord, I heard the story you were telling the little boy about the panther and said you'd never seen one. So I'll tell you what they look like. I have been within 60 feet of them. At a glance, a person would think it was a black bulldog, but they have a difference in their walk with their hind feet and front feet. They pull their front feet up and take a long step with the hind feet. When up close to them, they look filthy, but you can tell they're of the cat family. The head is a large, wide head. Up and down the ribs are brown stripes. From the ribs on back, they're black. They are larger and longer than a boxer bulldog, and they stink, they smell bad, an odor that is really bad. The average farm dog never goes near a panther or will even bark at them. The dog will growl, but he'll get away as quickly as possible. The panther I saw, this man, I'm reading his letter, the panther I saw had been shot by someone, and he had no tail. The hunters that try to shoot them try to shoot the hips first so they can jump, so they can't jump, I mean. I had a gun with me when I was so close to it, but I was afraid to try to kill it by myself. Panthers will lie in tall grass and weed patches, and no one knows how close they get to a person's house. I cut out 12 acres of weeds and high grass to run a panther out of there on account of the stock one time. When a horse smells a panther, he will start running right then and there. I know I've heard that myself. Then Mr. Cole says he wonders why no one seems to put out pictures of the wildlife that exists in these parts so they can tell what the panthers, bobcats, and other wild game looks like. Well, I believe he's right about that, but maybe nobody ever gets near enough to them with a camera. Boy, oh boy, they're not very, you know, they're not very fraternal. Thank you, Mr. Cole, for your letter. While I'm talking about old folks today, I just have to read a little poem to you. A dear woman I love so much was Amanda Dean at Jasper, Missouri, Aunt Amanda Dean. She wrote to me often, and she'd always begin the letter, "To one having not seen, yet I love." That's from the Bible, you know. I never got to meet her. She lived to be 98 and just died about 3 years ago, I believe, maybe less. And let me tell you this. About 1 year before she died, she wrote this little poem and sent me. She wrote many poems and sent to me, and they were wonderful. Way along in the 90s, her birthday was on Groundhog Day, and she always had a lot of fun about it. She says this, "Birthdays are a good time to look back and see how far you've come, so I wrote this poem yesterday. I've lived so many, many years through sunshine, shadows, joys, and tears, from oxen-drawn wagons and spinning wheels to flying machines and automobiles, from tallow candles to read by at night to television and electric lights, from hoop skirts, bustles, and woolen hose to bare legs, shorts, and vanishing clothes." She wasn't so old. She knew a few things. "But a baby's smile and a mother's love and the twinkling stars that shine above, these things I see where no change will be. 98 years is a long time to stay, but I know Jesus led me all the way." Now, friends, how's that for a 98 years old? Mrs. Amanda Dean at Jasper, Missouri. Everybody loved Aunt Amanda. And she always signed her letters, "Bye-bye, I love you." I wouldn't take anything for that letter and the poem at the end. Our friend Carl B. Icke at Deepwater, the poet and writer and grand chap all around, sent me a recipe for old-time hoe cake that he said Mrs. Bell Merriman Crowder at Deepwater gave him and said it was 100 years old, her grandmother's old recipe. Thank you, Carl. Come on down and we'll make some hoe cake. We all want to see our whole family. I don't know what's the matter with you, Carl, that you don't come. This week is Boy Scout Week. So many thousands of men were Boy Scouts when they were born, boys. Our president was. So many men in great places were once Boy Scouts. It's a great thing for boys. So all hail to the Boy Scouts of America. I'm glad my boys were Scouts when they were young. And here's a poem, just a little line in closing. "World, oh world of muddled men, seek the peace of God again. In the hills that hold the sky, the star you pull your heart up by, in the hope that answers doubt and love that drives the darkness out. Frantic, frightened, foolish men, take God by the hand again." Never a finer thing written for this bewildered world. Goodbye, and I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.